hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh scrubs.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 110 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture Is My Passion. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode brought to you by twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. P-E-R-M-A, about to plant some more of them suckers tomorrow, too. You just did a harvest.
Yeah, we just did a harvest video today with the corn. Not the corn. I don't know why I was thinking corn. With the cucumbers, the comfrey, and the garlic.
Yeah, and also that bed's going to be empty, so it's going to be taken care of. Hey, y'all, look, don't forget, you can tip a pimp over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there. Triple this or double the speed, triple it if you'd like. Also, remember, you can drop some of them sets to a player if you would so desire. Anyway, the tip of the day, we're just going to jump right into it. It's going to make sense later, I hope. Ask your friends, do this experiment. Ask your friends, ask your family what opposing views they listen to concerning politics or anything else you know that they're already entrenched in.
Well, you might be able to make the argument that the opposing views are constantly thrown at you every time you go out into public.
But have they examined them? Have they spent time around them? We're going to get into that a little bit later. But honestly, try that little experiment from the people around you because it explains an awful lot about our collective mentality. Okay, so farm news, we're going to jump right into it. Your mom did a fair amount of soil testing the other day, and we got a lot more going on. So we have these experiments that we're going to start kicking off. I was hoping to get after it today. And those experiments are basically going to consist of all the areas, all the pasture, all the silva pasture, all the mountainsides, all this stuff is still in, it's improved. It's much improved since we got here, but we're about to start putting out large quantities. But we got to do it. I can't get ahead of myself. We're putting out a bunch of compost extract. And the idea is to get it in the soil, to make it something of a soil drench, where we take all this wonderful compost, make all this wonderful compost extract, and then we get it down into the soil. Now, there's a bunch of different ways you can go about it, you know, injections, subsoilers. But hey, I'm old school, so I'm going to use a broad fork.
Yeah.
To basically make some holes, but some of this ground, y'all, is so, especially in the silva pasture area where it was totally messed up, that stuff is as hard as woodpecker lips.
Well, because the previous owners had a bunch of cows, like gave the cows a bunch of access to the woods, so every time it got hot or in the middle of the day or direct sun, the cows would go over either by a tree or in the forest or whatever and just compact everything.
It's absolutely dreadful what an animal can do, so I often say, folks, I'm not gonna be a cheerleader when I say this, but I'm gonna tell you straight. I see more examples of homesteaders being a detriment to the environment than what they are an asset.
Yeah. Yeah. I hardly see any of them having at least sustainable practices.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, and this is what we're trying to do with this series of videos. You know, despite YouTube suppressing, doing a fair amount of suppression when it comes to whether it's the movie that just came out or whether it's you name it. The last thing they want anybody to do is get this information. But anyway, we're driving on. I don't care. Either way, it's going to happen. So what we're going to do is start getting test spots and we're going to drench that soil with our compost extract. And it's basically something of a large experiment. Now we're going to do tests every 2 weeks. And I think on Patreon, we'll probably... We're going to kind of keep it under wraps, I think, for now. If anything, that's one really awesome thing about Patreon is that we can drop a lot of information out there that we're not yet ready to reveal to the entire world.
Right, yeah.
So we can do a whole lot of R&D that we've been doing this kind of stuff forever and a day, but until we had Patreon, we never really revealed any of it. Because if you put it on YouTube, sometimes the responses are so overwhelming that we can't possibly keep up with them. And that's one problem we don't have on Patreon. And son, I got to be honest with you, man. After talking to Tony from the confessionals, man, I'm giving some serious thought about starting our own platform or going to locals or something like that.
Yeah.
Because there's people leaving messages over there on Patreon. It's the best we have for now, but I'm seriously going to put some thought into how to move our stuff to another platform or maybe one that we even host ourselves.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, we can do our own platform. It's a possibility.
I mean, we do have our own website. Well, it's being worked on.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I don't even know what's involved, honestly.
I mean, you got people like
are you talking about like doing an app?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's something we really need to discuss, but I'm tired of being suppressed. I mean, I'm absolutely aggravated with being suppressed, whether it's on YouTube or whether it's on Patreon, whether playing games with the comments. You know, it means the world to me, especially on Patreon, because if you thought enough to hook us up and you got a question, I want to make it my highest priority to go ahead and get you taken care of.
Yeah.
And I spend, you know, I can't spend a whole lot of time on YouTube per se, but on Patreon, I can spend more time. And I'm finding out the serious people, the real serious people, are over there because they really want to know how to do this stuff. We are a how-to channel.
Right.
It's not, you know, what happened, you know, can we create some drama out of this or something like that. And it bothers me a great deal when people are leaving messages and I don't find out until 3 days later.
Yeah.
Then that's a poor reflection on me. And basically, I can't blame that person if they're thinking, well, this guy, how much does he care? You know, he's not spending any time to get back to me. So I want to look into that when we get this new website to see if there's some way we can host some of this stuff ourselves and get out of the position where somebody else, where, I mean, they kicked Doug Hagman right off of Patreon.
Right.
Took all of his funding. I mean, didn't even refund the guy. They did similar stuff like that to Mike Adams and a number of others. So just keep in mind, folks, we're looking for other ways out there to be able to get this information to you. And I look forward to be able to doing this next portion of the experiment on Patreon.
Yeah.
And letting the results kind of fly over there.
Other farm news. I don't know if we went over this as well as we should have in the video because there's, I mean, I think we announced we definitely announced the pregnancy in that video. So the focus wasn't necessarily on the experiment, but I don't think we're going to grow anything else in between comfrey plants from now on. It doesn't seem to do very well.
It looked like a good garlic harvest
like,
to me.
Oh, yeah, the garlic did well. The garlic did just fine. And the comfrey leaves did just fine. But if you're doing it for comfrey roots, they just don't do very well in that environment.
Now we know. I mean, that's part of the experiment.
Yeah, that was just letting you know the results of that experiment. Because we've attempted that with two different crops now, which was sweet potatoes at first and now garlic. And both the sweet potatoes and garlic did fantastic. The comfrey roots didn't. But it would be a good way to have a perennial, or not perennial, but it's a perennial plant, but a good way to have leaves all the time.
That's one beautiful thing.
You're just thing. Harvesting those.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has its application, I guess. That's the verdict.
Yep. That's the verdict. Okay. And then
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. If you got something to say.
No, I was going to say that's the beautiful thing about the kind of structure we have at this farm is that we can do all kinds of awesome R&D that makes somebody's life either easier or we find out that it ain't going to work and don't try it. You know, like the chicken tractor on steroids. Look, we're the world's foremost expert on that. I mean, in terms of the time that we put into it, the experiments we've done with it, all these different things, and I am so proud of what we have. Of course, Jeff Lawton gets all the credit. You know, it was his idea, his intellectual property. But I am so proud of where we've taken it, where we've said, okay, this bird, this bird, this bird, everything we've done in here and ways that we've tweaked it a little bit have advanced it. And I am so proud that so many other people have gone out there and said, especially in these times where inflation, I mean, you had a guy the other day on with Greg Hunter on the USA Watchdog talking about, oh, good night, man. He's one of the best trends forecasters on earth. And he's like, dude, let's not kid ourselves. Inflation's at 26%. Yeah. So the higher it gets, the more people are going to need this information. And I'm wanting so badly to put it out there. So I'm really proud that we're able to do a lot of this stuff and kind of lead the way and maybe tell folks what not to do. It's not just what to do. It's what not to do sometimes. And so I'm really glad we're able to do that. So as far as experiments, I'm down here learning to juggle, of all things.
On purpose?
On purpose.
Like with like the circus act?
Yeah, like the way they juggle. Today's my first day giving that a shot. I went and bought three balls.
Emily was asking me what the tennis balls were about.
Yeah, these little tennis balls, that's what they were all about. So in my speed reading course, one of the things he suggests you do, besides using your left hand for everything, is also because you're learning, it's basically an adapted version of the trifocus reading method to a great extent. And what you're learning to do is trust your peripheral vision way more than you do. And so one of the things that you're asked to learn is how to juggle. So he shows you how. So today's my first day, man. I was like a pig on roller skates down there. And your mom, I'm driving her crazy because she's back there trying to work. And I'm like, okay, I need this bed to kind of catch the ball so I'm not having to get down to the floor every time I drop them. But I'm actually shocked in doing it. I'm not working on it 30 minutes at a time. I'm doing it 5-minute increments, and I'm already getting better. Five-minute increments, and I'm already getting better. And then these other reading exercises called a 4-3-2-1. And there's no reason to go through that. But what I'm saying is I have a ton of stuff on my plate. I can't respond to text messages, emails. I can't get to all of them. I do my best. Believe me, I do. But what I'm finding out is even in this 75 hard program, which I'm about a month away from completing, I'm finding this is without a doubt the most productive portion of my life. I'm pushing myself harder. Not only am I doing 75 hard, I'm putting in some 3-day fasts up in there too.
Yeah.
I'm also putting in a level of education that is honestly, when I'm done doing my speed reading, my brain, I almost have a headache because of how taxed my brain is. Because he shows you ways to push yourself, and then you bring it back. And then you push yourself, and you bring it back. It's like working out, but with your mind. And honestly, I've never been a person that's ever felt proud of myself. I can honestly say for the first time in my life, maybe I'm a little hard on myself. I always have been, I guess. I've never been a person that ever stopped to say, man, look at what you did, or, hey, you did a good job here. I honestly can't think of a single time in my life I ever did that until today. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's growth because I'm afraid, I guess, if I say attaboy, then mentally I'm going to be like, okay, well, it's time to coast. And I don't feel the need to do that. It's just for the first time in my life, I honestly thought, man, you're actually doing a good job. Well, thanks, buddy. I just honestly, that's been something of a milestone for me. I'm like, I've never been busier, but yet somehow more productive in my life. Like they say, you want something done, give it to a busy person. Structuring my life in such a way to where I'm improving, and I'm trying to demonstrate this for all the people that are able to see me on YouTube. I don't know if they see the massive weight loss, but, and it's not about the weight. I'm trying to just get fit. More fit than I was.
Well, you also wear the same size shirt, so
yeah, and
you're wearing, not that you fit the same size shirt anymore, you just keep wearing the same shirts.
Well, on my pants, I'm literally, if I put my pants on without the belt, they fall right off.
Yeah.
So I can't remember the last time I was at 170, I was a buck private getting out of basic. And my clothes don't fit anymore, so I'm gonna have to buy some
clothes.
Last time
I was at 170, I was a sophomore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, folks, I'm saying that, look, I'm not saying any of this to brag. I'm saying that it can be done no matter how crazy your life is. You know, prime example, the number of people reaching out, and this is also farm news, I suppose. Your mom is actually reading that book from that doctor on the internet.
Fast Like a Girl.
Yeah, Fast Like a Girl. Yeah. So she's already put that into action. And I know that I don't want to speak out of school, but I know there's some people that reached out to her and they're, you know, seriously looking at it too. And the number of others, Pastor Lon and Miss Robbie, man, they're already seeing results. I've been seeing results. And I'm thinking, okay, Billy, you're doing some good in this world, because a lot of the stuff that we do on YouTube, you don't necessarily, and I'm not looking to see the rewards, you just don't know whether or not it did any good in anybody's life.
Right.
And when you hear all these people saying, look, hey, man, I'm giving this stuff a serious look, or I'm thinking about giving it a shot, or I'm going to start with the baby steps. And they're already seeing massive recovery on certain serious issues.
Yeah.
And when they do that, they're thinking, oh my goodness, man, where's this been my whole life? So I'm feeling really good right now. And I feel like I'm, the most important thing is that I make sure I give the Lord all the credit, all the credit. And it's not, and that maybe that's part of why I'm afraid to say attaboy, because I don't feel like I've arrived at anything. I just feel like I'm getting started on everything. And I'm just thanking the Lord that he's given me the purpose, direction, and motivation to do this. And I'm hoping that it's contagious. I'm hoping that people are seeing my example and think, okay, he's doing it. Man, I can do it too. Why not? I mean, there's nothing special about me. It's just, I'm a hard, the only superpower I have is a work ethic, and I work hard, very hard, mentally and physically. And I'm hoping it's contagious. So that's what I wanted to communicate on that. All right, other farm news. We got a lot of haze going around here. Now, on my phone this morning, check this out. Looked on there, because I had you drag the hose around, add another hose there, because I looked at the forecast right off this morning.
Right.
No rain in sight. Not a drop. For days and days and days. Then later this afternoon, I get out there cooking some steak and some sausages and whatnot. Here come the clouds. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't say all the streaks that were up there in the hazes before then. Oh, yeah. And then lo and behold, no rain forecasted. I mean, like zero chance of rain. All of a sudden, we get a storm roll right through. And then I look back at the phone, and the next 3 days, it's like chance of rain. I'm like, high chance of rain.
Yeah, Dad got back in with the steaks and the sausages just in time, too.
Then it came out.
But there's a guy I do jiu-jitsu with. He's a forest ranger or something like that, up in, like, the Tennessee part. So he's kind of – he works in a higher altitude than where we are right now. But him and everyone on his crew just recently got sick for, like – 2 weeks or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. So I wonder what's coming down from that Canadian fire, or if it's just completely unrelated.
Who's to say it's even a Canadian fire? I mean, man, they could be spraying. Who knows? I mean, call me, but you know, people are calling me a conspiracy nut a whole lot less these days, because you can't even make some of this stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody knows that if you got any sense at all, you know that everything you're told, whether in the political realm, Republican, Democrat, they're all liars. Every single one of them, for the most part. I'm sure there's a couple of honest ones out there. I just don't know of too many. And everybody's looking around. Okay, Hunter Biden's at the White House the day before. Oh, gee, lo and behold, cocaine's found. But we don't have a clue who did it. The story changes about 50 times. So I think if anybody has any sense at all, they're going to realize, everybody in the prostitute media, they are liars. And son, you're about to go on a little trip here.
Yeah, that was going to be part of the farm news. Y'all pray for us. We're going to Portland. We're flying out to Portland for my brother-in-law's wedding. So it's an exciting occasion. I'm going to see some pretty interesting stuff there, hopefully. And then I'll be back. Just a couple days. I'm not going to be gone very long at all.
Yeah, but I want you to take note of something, son. If you guys get a chance to go to town, see the sights.
What do you mean by town?
I'm
going to go over Conquer Chaz.
Yeah. This is Chaz. Yeah. Spartan kicks some little hipster.
The next podcast is from the headquarters up in the West Coast.
Yeah, our West Coast newfound location. No, I want you to do a little, I want you to observe something, okay?
Okay.
When you go there. I want you to tell me if I'm right or wrong, because it was this way years ago when I was back there. I want you to just kind of observe the people around there. If you go in a coffee shop, restaurant, I want you to notice you will not see a single person smile. You will not see a single person laugh.
Oh.
Tell me if I'm wrong. When you go out there, I want you to look for yourself. You will not see a person smile, and you will not see a person laugh. Man, every one of these guys I've been around, and I've worked around a lot of them from that area, it's like, and I hate the stereotype, but I'm just saying generally the hipster type, they all want to be stoics. You can't laugh at nothing. Yeah. You can't find humor in anything. My buddy Steve, I remember he got banned out of their local back there because he made just a benign joke. It was a joke, and they banned him from that local. Yeah, the electrician's local up there, as I understand it. So I want you to notice whether or not, and just look and tell me if you're not looking at an entire town of NPCs, man.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
And I want you to overlay it with the people you see in Asheville.
Well, I just want to see how far out of town I have to go to come across normal people. If it's the same as Asheville, is like just go right outside of town and you'll encounter normal people. I wonder if it's going to be the same way in Portland or if it's that side of the mountain range. You know what I mean?
You're going to see, I think, what you're going to notice is that Asheville is on its way to becoming that.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't used to be that way when we got here. It was, man, it was the place to be. And in many ways, it still is. I don't mean to run it down, but now you got homeless, just like every other town. But this ain't like a big city. I mean, this is a town the size of Texarkana, for crying out loud.
Right. And then when I get back, I'm going to start opening it up for in-person consultations again. So there's that.
Yeah. All right, y'all. So before we get into Pastor Lon, I want to remind you that here coming up real soon, July 21st through the 23rd, Heritage Life Skills Conference, that's going to be listed. We're listing all this stuff down below,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's listed in the description for the past quite a few episodes.
Okay, so we're going to be there along with, honestly, the keynote speaker, William Fortune, Mr. One Second After himself. You're going to want to be there. I'll be teaching a class as well, or a couple of them, I think, on 2 days. And then, hey, down the road, October 28th, 29th, Kentucky Sustainable Living. Go ahead and get your tickets now. Remember, they're going to have a fundraiser for Vets for Child Rescue. And that is basically going to be the VIP dinner. So you want to sign up for that. Look, folks, you know that movie that's out there. You know what it is. You know what's going on. And believe me, that movie only covered a small... Notice they didn't cover the Jeffrey Epstein types, but it's a two-hour movie. They can't cover it all.
Right.
But this horror is happening all the way around the planet, and we need to fund those people to kick these doors in or aid the honest police that aren't in on it.
But
yeah,
also
that's another story altogether.
Another benefit of this, movie is that the people protesting it are they're making themselves known.
Well, what about this? You got the mainstream prostitute media out there, all of them poo-poo in this movie, so you're putting yourself on blast. And then honestly, that shirt from Kentucky Sustainable Living, compost pedophiles, like you said, that's the ultimate litmus test.
Yep.
If they are offended by that shirt, tells you everything you need to know. Let's go to Pastor Lon.
Hello everyone, this is Pastor Lon. I got something a little different I want to share with you today. I want to share a little clip out of a book I'm reading about time. The question is, how wisely are we spending our time? Have we ever considered what a valuable gift time really is? I once heard a challenging scenario that describes time's value, and it goes like this. Suppose I was a banker, and I said to you, if you'll come to my bank each day, I will give you $86,400 to spend any way you wish. The only condition is at the end of each day, you return the portion you do not spend. It will not be added to your savings account, but instead it will be destroyed. You must promise to spend the money wisely. Do you agree? I have a feeling that you would make every effort to spend the entire amount as wisely as possible. But the sobering picture to this scenario is that every one of us goes to the Bank of Heaven each day, and we're given 86,400 seconds of time. When the day is finished, that which we didn't spend or we didn't spend wisely is lost forever. So I ask you again today, are we spending our time wisely?
Well, that kind of puts everything into perspective when you stop to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Man, as always, brilliant job, Pastor Lon. And folks, you make sure you go check him out. I mean, sign up. Subscribe over there on YouTube. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah.
I'm a little behind on some of his videos myself, but I'm going to get caught up here soon as I can take 2 seconds to breathe. But yeah, fantastic person, fantastic family, y'all. Go check him out. You'll be glad you did. All right, bad news. Good news section. Well, there's a whole lot of bad news out there that I could really kind of focus on, and a lot of it dreadful. But yeah, this is bad, but it's I mean, it's bad, but I mean, and I'll just jump right into it. Florida's citrus industry faces its worst season since the Great Depression. Basically, lemons, oranges, all these other things out there, they're saying the two hurricanes that came through basically put them on their heels, and they're in a bind. Well, that ain't the only thing that's in a bind. What about all the wheat farmers across the Midwest right. and everything else? I mean, we are in a massive bind. People I trust, like Michael Yon and a number of others, are out there saying, hey, you better get prepared. I think people are getting tone deaf to it. In fact, I'm really yeah. sure that they are, because they've been hearing that for 3 years now. And it's coming. It's barring a miracle, unless you see manna falling from the sky, we are heading that way. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think of a citrus crop, I mean, it's not like those
it's
are your
not a
prime.
Staple.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like it's your prime calories, but it's bad news. And it's bad news for the people down there. But, you know, I can't help but think, son, part of the reason I pulled this up, part of the problem with a lot of these citrus farms, avocado farms, all these other farms, what do you think the chief problem is?
They're monocrops.
Bam.
They're using a bunch of pesticides and herbicides and all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff to just kill the soil life, which is just getting worse and worse each year.
Right. So these plants and these trees and everything else are going to be less resilient.
Right.
They're all monocultures. Find me any permaculture orchards that are in the United States of Amnesia. I don't know of any.
Well, I'm sure there's a bunch of
I'm talking
like food
commercial.
Forests. Oh, not commercial, but I'm sure there's a bunch of food forests that did just fine in Florida.
Yes, that's exactly my point, is that they're sitting here, they're losing soil left and right. They're just putting chemicals on top of it. So it makes it less resilient. So what if you had, if you're worried about a late frost, instead of just that one cultivar of orange or something else out there, why not? What if you had 10, like we do in a permaculture orchard?
Yeah.
Or these apple groves where everybody knows my favorite apples are Evercrisp. And we had that late frost, wiped them all out.
Yep.
Didn't get any year before last.
That could have been our only apple, though, but thankfully it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point being is, yeah, when you see these articles, when you think of these things, look, y'all, one way to increase your ability to survive these things is to not have a monocrop. And that's what they're not listing in any of these articles where they talk about that stuff. It's all one giant monocrop.
Yeah.
So, even in your storage grains and stuff like that, you know, maybe a land race and stuff like that. Maybe we'll talk about that more in the future. All right, so good news. Tulsi Gabbard calls on Congress to ban atrazine and other dangerous crop chemicals linked to chemical castration of children. Okay, everybody laughed at Alex Jones all these years ago when he talked about gay frogs and all
yep.
this stuff. And then RFK Jr. comes out, corroborates what Alex Jones had been saying all these years ago. And it ain't just Alex Jones. He was using the studies, but everybody just marginalized it and didn't go look themselves. Yes, that's what atrazine does. And it's all over. When we lived up in Kansas, it was in all the groundwater.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
We
yeah.
had it tested. That stuff, you couldn't escape it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically everywhere, all through the Midwest. So you better be, if you live in those places, you might want to be giving some serious thought. Man, I know everybody's tight on money these days, but if you can, you might want to give some serious, serious thought to doing something with your drinking water at least.
Like rainwater catchment or like filtration?
Well, maybe a distiller like we have. I mean, if you had to, you know, you can get some
distillers.
You think
a Berkey filter would take that out?
No, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. You're going to need to distill a lot of that junk that's down in there. But it's in all the cropland. Mm. Now, I'm not one to lean in the government to do anything for me. But I'm at least, Tulsi Gabbard's no longer in Congress, but at least she's putting the word out there. Because now people have, some people, thoughtful people, got to say, well, what's atrazine?
Yeah.
And what is it doing to me? Yeah, that's part of what's going on in this world right now. So if we can get that crap out of there, we don't need any of it. We just need better practices. All right, well, check this one out. So, rapper 50 Cent.
Is gay.
Okay, maybe. Maybe, but that's not where I was going. 50 Cent says L.A. is finished after reinstatement of zero bail policy. So right now, this isn't linked. This is another article entirely. Man, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I knew it was bad out there, but they just did a count, and there are 75,000 homeless people on the streets of LA right now.
That's the population of Asheville.
So
that's the population of Asheville, Dad. So,
I mean, put that into perspective.
Yeah.
75,000. Now they're saying, like, the reinstatement of the zero bail policy, which they instituted at COVID, now all of a sudden they are, it's basically open season. I just saw it the other day. Your mom was with me, actually. It was a dollar store, and a lady was trying to throw this one lady out. I mean, they're stealing stuff. Cops won't come. Nobody's listening.
And oh, now, no, I was with you. Was it on the way to the bakery.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They were they're trying to throw her out. And then the other day, this is actually a while ago. They're telling me at Whole Foods, man, bums are just walking in off the street.
Yep.
Filling up their, a couple of boxes, like getting some for their homeboys.
Yeah.
Walking right out of the store. Where do you think this leads? I mean, this is mayhem. This is lawlessness. How long before other people are saying, look, hey, you got this bum walking in here. Yeah, they're bums. There's a difference between homeless and a bum. Yeah. And I'm making that distinction. So right here, you're getting what you asked for. 75,000 on the street. I can't even wrap my head around that.
That's the entire population of Asheville in tourist season, because that population's taken during the tourist season. So whenever everybody's in town, like during the summer and whatnot. That's wild.
Yeah, it's getting absolutely crazy. So even 50 Cent, this rapper, he says, I warned y'all in the Instagram post. He said, L.A. is finished. Basically, they can't pick up anybody for petty crimes. They can't do anything. Now, go back.
Who is staying there? It just turned into the purge.
Yeah, for the life of me, I can't understand why anybody would ever continue to live there. I mean, I understand there are people in, looking to get their way out, and right, there's people that have family issues and a number of others.
I'm thinking like the famous people. That's what I'm thinking. Like, why are they still there? Well, or anybody that holds a bit, not even famous, but anybody who owns a business, anybody who has the ability to leave.
Apparently they are sequestered in their little gated communities where, these homeless guys aren't just going to jump or they got security out there.
For now.
Yeah, for now. But I mean, for crying out loud, 75,000. This is what wokeness will do to your life. Oh, yeah, I want to give a hat tip to Van Tesla once again for providing all the music, especially my man Joel Thomas over there at Kill the Mockingbirds podcast.
Yeah, he was actually on Instagram the other day. All those trolls and stuff like that, he was over there defending us against the trolls.
Yeah.
Commenting back and all that kinds of stuff.
Well, the trolls, watch your YouTube feed because, I'm gonna come down on you like Thor's hammer. All right, this section brought to you by EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, PERMA. Look, enough said. You know the times we're in.
Yeah.
All right, so the topic I wanted to get into here today was actually inspired by Joel Salatin. Now, as I'm out there doing my speed reading and whatnot, I'm going through his latest book. I don't know if it's his latest book, but it's the one I haven't read yet, and it's Build Your Farm Business. And so your mom said, I ought to read it. And typical of a lot of Joel's books, I mean, there's always tons and tons and tons of information. And it's not necessarily on the topic that you think when you're reading the book. You may tune in for pasture poultry profits, but you're hearing some anecdote that just rings true that fits into the entire narrative of the book. And he does that all the time. I mean, when you have a guy with that much travel experience, with that much life experience, with all this experience, just period, you can't help but be wise.
Yeah.
And you can see it. I mean, it jumps off the page because of his, he's highly traveled, because he is a reader, a chronic reader, which he talks about in that book, you know, find me anybody of any great success, and you find out that 9 times out of 10, they learn, they like to read. And also when you go and get outside that little realm, that little box we all live in where we become really comfortable, you find out things about yourself. Like Mark Twain, one of my favorite quote. Well, I don't have a Mark Twain favorite quote. All of his quotes are famous or awesome to me. But he says that travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. And many of our people need it solely or sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one's own corner of the earth all one's lifetime. Well, Joel is the walking example of what exactly Mark Twain was talking about. And Twain himself was quite traveled. He was a rock star at the time. And he's still a rock star in my book. I mean, I don't know that there's ever been a more clever American ever.
Yeah.
And back to Joel's book. So I'm reading in there, and there's this section of the book where he calls it, I don't remember the title of that section, but it's called Eclectic whatever. I can't remember. But in this section, he's talking about getting the opposing views point on just about everything. And most of us would have a knee-jerk reaction if somebody said, well, hey, and this is why I started the show. Ask anybody if they ever listen to anybody in the opposing camp. I do all the time, and I've been criticized all the time for doing it, but mostly in terms of politics. And then I realize how far short I've fallen by reading this part of the book, because there's a lot of this stuff. Some of it I have delved, you know, moved myself into this realm, but with my reading material, I tend not to do that. And that's something I'm going to try to change. Man, that's going to be an uphill battle, because I usually, I want to love what I read.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking that same thing. That's going to be difficult to do when it comes to a book. Cause like, I don't know, there's something painful about wasting like that book. You know what I mean? Like that, like, man, I could have read
that
a
time.
Book. Yeah. Like, man, I could have read a book I actually liked.
I mean, I've read books that were duds. I've actually done that quite a few times where, like a name of this one book was called The Kryptos Conundrum, written by a guy named Chase Brandon.
Yeah.
Former CIA guy. I now realize he's a major stooge that, you know, he basically gives a lot of the Hollywood scripts to the people in Hollywood.
Right.
Wrote this book called The Kryptos Conundrum, and it sounds like a really awesome title. Mm-hmm. You get in there and read this book, and I'm like, what?
Is it fiction or is it nonfiction? Yeah,
it's fiction, but supposedly it has a lot of CIA truth in it. Talks about the deep underground military bases, yeah. People like Valiant Thor and a number of others. I mean, I know I'm talking outside the realm here, but I sat here, read this book, but I was so invested when I'm a couple of chapters in, I feel, you know, I'm like, okay, I got to finish it now. Yeah. And so I do, and I'm like, okay, where's this thing going? But the point I'm getting at is that Joel suggests that every single aspect of your life, you need to keep your enemies closer. I've always understood that, and I've always done that in terms of politics. For example, I'm driving down the road. You were there with me, I think, the other day. I turned on NPR.
Yeah.
And it is making both of us climb the walls.
Right.
Because you can hear NPR did not used to be this overt. It did not used to be like just, this is the camp we're in. You always knew that it was corrupt, but it wasn't this obvious. And so here's why I listen to it, and here's why I've always done it from a political realm. I've always wanted to know what my enemy thinks. Now, I've been doing this ever since I got out of the Army, because I'm like, okay, I thought, okay, I'm a Republican. Then I became a Democrat. Then I'm an independent. And then I'm realizing, my goodness, until Ron Paul came around, I didn't feel like I resonated with anywhere in the known spectrum. I had all these thoughts and beliefs based on what I learned. And then Ron Paul comes out of the woodwork and I'm like, oh, this guy exists.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I would always make myself, even though I knew Fox News and CNN, MSNBC, I can't stand all of the people on there, but I would make myself watch it. Just to know, this is why Kennedy read like, I don't even know how many newspapers every morning. Kennedy was probably the fastest reader in the history of the White House. And he would read like, I don't know, 6 newspapers in the time he drank one cup of coffee.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he was extraordinary in that way. He could really take in a lot of information. But anyway, he would do that just like Truman used to do just like FDR used to do, so they want to get a well-rounded opinion of what's going on around them. Well, if it was good for JFK, I'm thinking, okay, I'll do the same exact thing. But let me tell you where I have fallen short. And I got to kind of eat a little bit of crow here, because I have dismissed a lot of these leftist books concerning permaculture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not at all interested, or at least I don't think I am. I don't. How would I know? I haven't read the books. If they came this from this thing, like Mark Shepard, okay, I know I resonate with this dude.
Yep.
Now, I'm thinking about some of these other guys and some of these real leftist permaculture podcasts out there, and I'm thinking, a lot of these people, I hear them talk. When I hear a bunch of up talk and vocal fry, I know that I'm dealing with probably a person that leans to the left nine times out of 10. So when I hear that, I'm automatically a little bit repulsed, but I'm thinking, okay, how can I dismiss the information? Is there one bit of information this person's going to offer to me that I can get out of it? And in the past, when I'd listened to it, I was like, you know, come to think of it, there's a lot of things I got from some of these people. Okay, why did I quit doing it? It's because their wokeness repulsed me so much that I wouldn't even allow myself.
I get it. Yeah, it's repulsing. It is.
I couldn't even allow myself to even consider or adopt even that slight thing that might be useful, or maybe it's something they're using, and just that one thing, maybe it's worth it. And then I find out, okay, so I go and visit. I'm helping somebody move, another permaculture designer. They're going to this place that, you know, they're lefties over there.
Yeah.
And I realize they got this outdoor cooling system for their meat that they hang their, well, not their meat, their veggies in there.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, I can't believe I never thought of this. What they had was basically a walk-in cooler, but it was situated outside, and all they did was put a cool bot in the side of it.
Huh.
And I'm like, that is absolutely genius. Why have I never thought of that?
Yeah.
But if I never went to their place, I would have never saw that. And I'm like, man, what I had in mind was like pretty intense.
Yeah.
When I asked them about it, I was like, well, so where did you get this? Well, we got it on Craigslist. It was cheap, blah, 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 blah. Had I not gone there to this leftist place, I wouldn't have found that out. A lot of these other things, I'm realizing that I am missing the boat. Because, yeah, I mean, okay, I spent very little time, two occasions in my life where I spent time with people from Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Two times?
Two times. One time, believe it or not, it was still in Texas. Oh. There was this guy from Portland.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This guy from Portland, and he was, a hipster, vegan, stoic, the whole nine yards. The guys that, you know, the people with those sleeves full of tattoos and hipster beard, the whole nine yards. They think they're original, but they look just like everybody else. You'll never find a hipster that knows that he or she is a hipster. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
So that was the two times. Both times I realized these people are very troubled. I don't like them. They're honestly shortchanged by the entire establishment. A lot of these people on the hard left, I find out they have so-called advanced degrees, but you're working as a barista somewhere. Nothing wrong with that, but you get on your high horse. Like, I got a master's degree. I'm like, okay, what are you doing with it?
Yeah.
I mean,
does it count if you're not using it?
Yeah. I mean, what good is that? I got two degrees. I ain't using either one of them. Neither is your mom. So I'm like, okay, so it's not worth the paper it was written on.
Right.
And the smartest people I know never even graduated college. But going back to these lunatics, or people that we think are lunatics, like Shakespeare said, there's that part in Hamlet where Polonius is giving advice to Laertes before he's running off to college. And he gives him a lot of sage advice where he says, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Lend every man thine ear, but not every man thy voice. And above all else, to thine own self be true. He gave him some other stuff in there too. But that lend every man thine ear, but not every man thy voice, I've not been good at that. Because in the past, I've been known to cuss somebody out before they even got through lending me their voice. Now, I'm not that guy anymore, and I'm glad I'm not either. And frankly, there's a whole lot of people that still have teeth in their head because I'm not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of these little marchies, man, they've never been punched in their lives, that'll get up in your face. Like when we were around that time of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, those little chicklets in the bottom of his toilet would have been his teeth had that happened just even 3 years prior.
It makes you pause because it's like, do you not know that this can end? Like, did you just not hear?
I'm thinking, dude, you get that close to me, meaning harm, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to just scale it down a little bit, you know, and just get myself out of here. But I am missing the boat, folks. And I dare say there's a lot of you out there too. And there's another thing. William kind of touched on it before. I did that little Instagram video. I didn't realize it would be that incendiary.
Yeah.
Where I'm talking about it. And I might have even mentioned it in the podcast. Where, and folks, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to do a longer form of it on YouTube. And I'm just being perfectly honest with my observations. What I've noticed, what I have observed, being around both sides, is that the people on the left, they might be on an all kale diet, but at least they have some understanding in how to grow food. Overwhelmingly. And I have more in common with the people on the right. Look, I'm just going to tell you straight up. I consider myself a full-fledged, liberty-minded. I'm not left. I'm not right. If you're in line with freedom and the Constitution, then you and I got a lot in common. A lot of these so-called people on the right no longer represent that. Basically, you could say I'm a Ron Paul libertarian, okay? That's where I come down on just nearly everything. So with that being said, laying all this out, I'm realizing that so much of this stuff, I am missing the boat on, and so is everybody else, and nothing brought it home more than that video where I'm saying, look, these people may be weirdo vegans, but at least they can grow food. And you people on the right, and I know a lot of you, you went out, and I know this is overwhelmingly what I know that people do, and I know a lot of these people. You have no interest in growing any food, and that's fine. You have no interest in growing animals, any of that stuff. A lot of you went out there, got a lot of storable food. You got maybe 6 months, maybe a year put back. You got your guns. You never been hunting a day in your life, but you got everything. You never put any of it to work. And half of the people, when I ask them about this, well, I'll go hunting. Well, have you been hunting? No, but I'll figure it out. Okay, yeah, good luck to you. Good luck to you. So the point I'm making is, if some of us on the right would at least examine the helpful things on the left, maybe we could find a little bit of crossover. Because like you said, son, it wasn't the biggest vitriol weren't from the left.
No, the biggest crybabies on there were the ones on the right, for sure. The men on the right. The men about my age, a little bit older, on the right.
Well, I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to provide historical proof why you're on the wrong side of things and why you ought to consider, myself included, look, y'all, I'm not on my high horse here. Maybe to a certain extent I have been, and to that I'm going to offer an apology. I am going to do what Joel suggested. Boy, this is going to be,
it's going to
be tough. Maybe I'll start with magazine articles, man. Something I can read quickly.
Something you don't have to listen to.
Yeah. I'm even going to try to tune in on some of the podcasts, but when I'm going down the road sometimes.
You better not be driving while doing that, Dad. Man,
well.
You'll wreck.
Well, I've been listening to NPR, okay, but I need to listen to stuff that isn't in a political realm entirely. So I'm going to look at some of the methods from some of these other people because I bet I'm missing the boat concerning a lot of this stuff. All right, y'all, when we get back, straight into the Q&A. Everybody worked up about Elon. Buying Twitter like he gonna save us. Left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no. I answer to no one, start calling me NATO. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer. I need another booster. You know what cracks me up is that he even sings the song like a wokey.
Yeah.
It's a woke song. Yeah. He even sounds like he's trying to be woke while doing the song. I can't believe I just now figured that part out. All right. So got one here from Austin. Hey, y'all. After watching your Chicken Tractor on Steroids series, I started kicking out some serious compost. I've always had a compost pile cooking, but never made more than a cubic yard per year. Paid a lot of money. Look. Bottom line is he basically got some comfrey and he says he got a lot more in the package than he thought. and he wanted to offer a thanks. He didn't want to get anybody in trouble. Hey, Austin, we do that purpose, man. We always pad these bags, man. So I want to thank you for your support. I really do. And I want to thank everybody else. I want to thank you for listening. I don't do that often enough, y'all. And if you do have time, if you like what you're hearing, if you like what we have, please leave us a review over there. Tell everybody you know about it, because the powers that shouldn't be don't want this information out there. So I thank you all from the bottom of my heart.
Right. And you're not getting anybody in trouble. It's us. We're the employees.
Yeah.
Mom and I are out there counting it. Got one from Flyover Joe. I'm getting a Harvest Right unit. I don't see a way to enter your promo code at checkout. How can I get the 10% discount?
There is no discount on Harvest Right.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. You just basically use our link.
Yeah. No, there's a 10%. Our link provides, there's a promo code for Harvest Right.
No, pretty sure there isn't. But
there
should
be.
No, there may be a promo code. Only thing it does is help us. I mean, so we get a little bit from it. I'm not sure. In fact, I'm pretty sure
that wouldn't make any sense. Why would they use
If you're going to buy one, I mean, Harvest Right knows they can't build them fast enough. So they're not going to offer any discounts knowing that these things are flying off the shelf. So it's not uncommon.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah. They're the best out there. Anybody finds a better one, let me know.
Yeah.
All right. He was on the podcast a little while ago. Super sharp dude. He says he has a really good take on this. In regards to the business leaving the cities, the powers that be often use such a law and order tactic to get we the people to beg for further control. He has a lot more in there. He says, based on how the fractional reserve banking works, said businesses are not leaving cities due to a lack of profit. Corporate businesses have long abandoned the customer demand model and earning profit. They instead operate in extreme debt and serve nothing more than the conduits to keep the banking machine running. Although they use losses as the excuse to leave, they're actually leaving in order to convince us that further controls such as digital ID, digital currency are necessary. Very soon, city dwellers will give up even more liberty for the sake of getting Starbucks and Target back. How do we gain more control over the masses? You make them beg for it. That is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that
absolutely is brilliant. And it makes me hit on another point that I was thinking about the other day in terms of the political leadership. Man, I've been long suspicious of Trump, and I've become more and more suspicious of Bobby Kennedy the more I find out about him. I wonder if this isn't, I'm not trying to take anything away from what Eli wrote here because it's fantastic and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it isn't just another Coke and Pepsi anti-establishment people posed to be there for the express purpose of giving us a false choice.
I think it is.
Yeah, thinking, no matter which one I pull, okay, let's think about this. Trump, you're not going to tell me that a farmer in North Carolina knows more about this vaccine than Trump.
Right.
You're not going to tell me that he's been hit up too many times from too many people to not know that that thing is killing people.
I don't know how people are still defending him, though. Like the people that go on, like Stu Peters and Mike Adams and all that, and go on and say, yeah, we need to get Trump back in office. How on earth do you say that?
I don't understand that. And then,
either he's the dumbest president we've ever had and is like just has no access to any kind of information, or it was on purpose.
I like to think Bobby Kennedy is a good guy. I hope he is. But I'm very suspicious. And just like he's talking about here, where it's a feint, where we think it is, he pointed out something I didn't even know. And where it's not that he's exactly right. They're working in a loss category anyway. All they're doing is just putting us, corralling us, just like we do animals. They're corralling us right through the chute. And so we're given this false left-right paradigm of a choice. Realize it doesn't even matter.
We need to get to the point where the choice doesn't even matter, which is just creating our own economy.
Yeah, our own enclaves. And I'm hoping and praying that, if there's anything good to happen out of all this, y'all, I think we're finding each other.
I got one from user 17999 on the Fountain app. The strangest thing to me in having taught myself so much is when people ask me to teach classes. I have come to the conclusion that people are afraid. Homeschooling is scary because parents fear that they'll mess up. People think they can't teach themselves because they'll mess up. No question. Just urging people everywhere to give yourself permission to mess up.
Man, that's brilliant advice right there. Man, we got the best doggone listenership on the planet. There was a lady who came. There was that lady from Spanx. She made a product. It's basically like ladies' pantyhose or something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that was the name of the product. She said in an interview, your mom was telling me about it, that every day from when she and her sisters would come home from work or from school, their dad would ask, "What have you failed at today?"
Hmm.
Giving them license to do extraordinary things, to fall flat on their face, to not be given the same garbage I was taught, where you can't fail. Now, you give it 110%, you give it 1,000%. But if you fall short, read that Man in the Arena speech from Teddy Roosevelt. Like I said, I got a love-hate relationship with Roosevelt for a whole number of reasons. Maybe I could do a podcast, historical podcast, and kind of blow open all the myths about all these people that everybody thinks are wonderful. Like, believe it or not, Lincoln wasn't the guy you think he was. And a number of others, too. But my point being is that Roosevelt and that Man in the Arena speech, it's one of the most empowering speeches I've ever heard in my life. Everybody ought to read it. And just loosely quoting it, it's like, you know, everybody's critical of that person who's got dust and mire all over his face. But by and large, the people that are critical, that never, ever try, that never get into that arena, never know the astounding feeling of high achievement and what it feels like also to be kicked in the bottom, you know, to be down at the bottom of the dust. But like he says, at the end of the day, my place will never be among those cold and timid souls that know neither victory nor defeat. But look, it's going to have to get all of us out there being very comfortable with failing. Right now, I'm learning to juggle, and I'm dropping the balls every single time. I'm dropping the balls every single time in my speed reading. You know, like today, where I dropped back about 70 words in what I was reading.
Yeah.
Because I had so much on my mind and so many other things going on, I wasn't focused. That feels demoralizing, but it's still an upward. Think about it, a sailboat, just like one of my favorite books of all time. He describes that a sailboat just doesn't, our life is like a sailboat. It's not a speedboat. You don't go in a sailboat from one place to the other in a straight line. No, what do? You find a wind, it takes you kind of in the direction of where you're going. And then later on, you find that you catch another wind and it takes you in another way. So you may have to tack a little bit. Maybe you're just stalling for a little bit. But generally, sooner or later, you make it to that destination if you just stay in the game. And you're going to have to get used to failing, y'all. Just get those muscles just used to failing. It is okay. Just fail while daring greatly.
Got one from Liberty Bound. Billy and William, on the topic shedding program, I've recently challenged my outlook on virology. If you have time, find Alex Zek and the End of COVID video series. Also, check out Dr. Andrew Kaufman for a more credentialed perspective on how we've been lied to about our God-given ability to heal and what viruses really are.
Yeah, I'm well aware of his work and haven't examined it in full, but honestly, it wouldn't shock me. It's like everything else. Everything we've been told is a lie. I mean, honestly, I think he makes a pretty unbelievable case, pretty unimpeachable case, Dr. Kaufman. So, yeah, it's worth checking it out. So Derek says, got some of your bone sauce here. Thank you, Derek, for your business. I was thinking about putting it on the cedar post around the edge of my garden. Have you tried that yet? Or will the cedar override the bone sauce smell? Okay, so check this out. Bone sauce really was designed for orchard settings. A lot of people have been using it in garden settings, and they've been having great success. And some in other cases, it may not be wonderful, but it really is. I mean, I have examples down there right now where the deer are coming in because we do hold back some for nature. So we got all we wanted of the strawberries. Now what's left, the deer, we're allowing them. They actually come in there, and in some cases, they've actually clipped off the heads of some of the strawberries. Or at least they did until I put down more bone sauce.
Right.
And them suckers are on their bicycle heading in another direction. But we also share with nature. But keep in mind, it's not a panacea, but it is the best money can buy. But no, as far as that goes, it won't overpower the smell. It has its own smell, trust me. And
it's unique.
What's coming off that cedar ain't even, trust me, it's not even an issue. The deer couldn't care less about that cedar, but they're going to think twice about bone sauce.
Yeah. Got one from Kentucky Sustainable Living on the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. Great interview with Seth. I like his channel. I hope he can make it to the festival and dinner. Is he planning on going?
Well, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate right now. I've been trying to reach out to him.
Yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of my, you know, I don't want to get ahead and tell news that really, he's got big things going on right now.
Oh, okay.
Another baby coming and some other big news that I'm not sure he's going to make it, but I'm trying to get him up there and we'll see if he can make it.
Cool. Got one from the Philippine Nomad. Seth's YouTube channel is shadow banned for sure. I downloaded the plot to steal America as it populated on his home section. Then 10 minutes later, it disappeared off the home, and I had to internet search it again to find it. Will sub to his Rumble channel.
Yeah, that's the only real way to catch Seth, honestly, is you got to check him out on Rumble. And I'm telling you what, y'all, he is honestly a magnificent person in an interview. Asks fantastic questions. It's not a gotcha kind of thing. And he's honestly just looking for the truth.
Yeah. I got one from Big Daddy Don. Billy, I love these interviews because it helps us build community and networking among the liberty-minded people. We are building the new/old society where we get back to the ground. Seth, love your perspective as I share the same thought about getting back to where what God intended. A man, a woman, in a garden, and naked. Okay, the naked part might get me in trouble.
Yeah, depends on where you live.
Depends on where it is, yeah.
Depends on where you live, man. That's, yeah. You know, that's the beauty about, I'm going to try to put in that interview, and then I'm reaching out. I'm going to reach out to some of the homesteaders out there that are doing some really big things out there. Y'all, the idea is not to get famous people on here. I could get them. I mean, it's not hard to do.
No.
I mean, I can get people, household names that everybody's heard of. I don't want to do that. Let me take that back. If they have something that's worthwhile to the show, I'm not going to bring anybody to you that everybody universally knows. I want you to, just like Joel suggests, okay, maybe we bring somebody on that looks into the paranormal. How does that overlay with your life?
Yeah.
Just interviewed one today. You're going to want to stick around for next Wednesday because I think it was a fantastic interview. Maybe we talk to somebody about politics like we did with Seth. Maybe we have some people out there that are doing some really cool stuff in the tropics. Maybe that hits you. It doesn't do you any good just hearing the perspective of us all the time. I'm going to reach out more, but folks, in order to do this, we're going to need your help. I'm going to ask you, like I said, once again, to leave a review out there. It helps us a great deal. Also, please tell everybody you know, because we're trying to do the best we can, produce the best we can, give the best information out there. And y'all, we just hope you, from here to this time out, stay alert.
Stay alive.